Hi, I'm Whitney Lee, founder of Socially PR and Digital Media, and for over a decade, I've been creating and executing marketing and PR plans for businesses all over the U.S. I'm obsessed with helping entrepreneurs bring their big ideas to life and, most importantly, boost their bottom line. The Socially Relevant Podcast is a resource to give you clarity, ideas, and inspiration that you can actually apply to marketing your business. So you won't find any overwhelming tech talk here. We're breaking down all the details in a way that's fun and easy to understand, giving you tangible ways to take action. Are you ready? Let's do this. I hope you are having a great week. Welcome back to the show. My name is Whitney Lee. If you are a first-time listener, we're glad to have you. Actually, this is a great episode to listen to if you're the first time listening, because we're going to take it back a little bit and tell you a little bit about me and how I went along this journey of becoming an agency owner. I have a lot of freelancers that follow me on Instagram or, you know, and they reach out and they ask about how the company grew to where it is today. So I thought this would be a cool episode to tell you guys a little bit about me and this whole crazy evolution over the past, gosh, I guess I left corporate in 2013. So, okay, well, here we go. So a little bit about me. I was born and raised in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Shout out, went to Southern Miss undergrad. I moved to Destin, Florida in the summer of 08, just to hang out on the beach and pretend like I was job searching. But I mean, I kind of was, but not really. I decided to go to grad school. I did the Integrated Marketing Communications program at Florida State University over in Tally, but I kept moving back to Destin every summer. It's only like 2.5 hours. So moving back and forth to Destin to work over the summer and hang out on the beach. So my last semester in grad school, I had to do an internship and I had to hook up with someone who knew the director of marketing for a huge hotel property, in Destin. So I reached out to them and they actually took me. It was a paid internship. I think they paid me like $7 an hour or something. That's funny, isn't it? So they paid me $7 an hour. And so it was kind of an interesting property. They have a hotel and a spa, restaurant, all that. But then on the back side of the property, they have this whole lifestyle center where they've got a big amphitheater for concerts. They've got boutiques, restaurants. They do a ton of events, like everything you can think of, seafood festival, beer festival. You know, it's kind of like it's like an event center, but also shopping and dining. So I was their intern, and after that, they asked me to stay on permanently and offered me a whopping $12 an hour with a master's degree. So I was like, okay, I'll take that for the time being until I find something better. So they did upgrade me and gave me a salary. I think my salary ended up being like $35,000 a year or something. So that was my salary. I was 23. I got the opportunity to be the director of marketing at the Hilton Sandestin. Here's the power of putting yourself out there. I never thought I would get this job. I was 24, I guess, by the time I applied for it, or 25. And they did 8 rounds of interviews with me, and I ended up getting the job. And within about 6 to 8 months, I was miserable. It was me sitting in a room with no windows every day, not really getting to be creative about anything. I actually had an agency, you know, the hotel had an agency. So I was kind of like the on property person that would direct the agency, tell them what we need. And they got to do everything. They wrote all the press releases. They wrote all of the email blasts and put them together and all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of like gave them content and approved everything. I was so bored. It was pretty much just me. I was the only marketing person. There was no team. It was me and then my outsourced agencies. I had a digital agency, and then I also had a PR agency. So I met another girl in town who had started her own business, and she was doing really, really well. And she's like, hey, why don't you come work with me and help me? Like, we can do this thing, you know? And like, so the freedom was really, really attractive to me. It was just killing me. I mean, 25 years old, every day it was like, you had to be at work by 8 a.m. And if you were 5 minutes late, then, you know, the boss is going to be asking for you, blowing you up. And you had to like wear all this like business suit crap. And that's just like not my jam. And also like just kind of the creative handcuffs they had. So I got this wild idea. I'm like, I'm going to go work with this girl, you know, and like help her with this business or whatever. And like have, you know, work from home and have all the freedom in the world. I went and told my parents I was going to do it. And my parents were like, you are absolutely insane, which I adore my parents. They are wonderful. They've been married for over 40 years. They're very, very smart people. They both had great careers. They're both college educated. They're just looking out for me. Okay, I get it. But also like something inside of me was like, I can't sit in this room with no windows for the rest of my life. If this is what I just worked so hard to get all these degrees to do, like, are you kidding me? This is all there is to life? No, no. I mean, I loved all my people at the Hilton, all my coworkers, you know, I was in an office with all the salespeople and the weddings team and all that. I loved everybody I worked with, but still, I was just bored, bored, bored. So when I went in to tell my boss at the Hilton, I told her, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go start, you know, doing consulting and freelancing clients, you know, for social media and PR things and whatnot. And she was probably about 65 years old. She literally laughed in my face. Shout out to you if you're listening to this. She literally laughed in my face and said, I will never forget. She chuckled and then said, well, I hope you have a lot of money saved up because a lot of people try to do that and it just doesn't seem to work out. And then when she said that, I immediately like, it, you know, fear set in of like, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, in the back of my head, my parents had told me like, Whitney, no, like you prayed for this job. You wanted this job. This is a big job. You have great benefits. They feed you lunch every day. Like, what are you doing? Why would you leave this? But I just knew I couldn't sit there. So I branched out and the other girl and I worked together for a few years and then I decided to go out on my own. So that was, let's see, 2015 when I went out on my own and officially launched the business. We launched socially probably in October of 2015. It was also a really challenging time in my life because I was going through a divorce. I was 29 years old and holy moly, like talk about madness. I was living by myself for the first time in my life, which was kind of nice, but also really lonely. So I just had a lot of change happening. Had a family member pass away, left, you know, like secure money to start my own gig. And yeah, getting a divorce all at once. So it was really interesting, but I also, you know, like really, you know, it goes to show that when your back is against the wall, like you will make something happen. And I honestly like just started putting myself out there. I started attending stuff. I would make myself go to the chamber events, the young professional events, the, you know, anything where I could meet people, shake their hand and say, here's who I am and here's what I do. I also gave my time a lot. I would speak at stuff, you know, at rotary meetings, at nonprofit stuff, you know, and slowly but surely I would have people that would say, hey, actually, can we chat about our social media? Can we chat about you helping us with this event or that? And one client turned into two, turned into three. And honestly, they were all local because they were all, you know, like I was crushing it and working so hard for them that other people would see their stuff and be like, hey, who did that for you? Who did that event? Or who's doing your Facebook? When other people would ask them, of course, they would refer me. And so it just kind of broke out like wildfire. And I want to say within the first, let's see, at first I was literally doing everything myself. I'm talking writing every single social media post, answering the DMs, like writing press releases, sending those out, coordinating events, helping with sponsorship, selling sponsorship. I mean, I was like doing everything. And before long, I was like working 12 hours a day. And then that was at the point that I was like, oh my gosh, I guess I need to like hire somebody. So I hired a girl that was helping me, I want to say 20 or 30 hours a week. And from there, we just kept growing. And I think the biggest, most challenging thing for me was learning to let other people manage things for me and figuring out how, you know, to let go of the reins and really let them, you know, manage them. But here's what I found to be the best advice is that you have to make their job description very clear of like whatever they're doing. You know, you are going to manage the, you know, these social media platforms. And that means each page gets 3 to 4 posts per week, blah, blah, blah. Like they just have to be really, really clear on what their job is. And then you have to show them exactly how you want it done. And then also open it up and let them bring some ideas in too, you know, especially after I left the Hilton for them not letting me be creative. Like, you know, I have to allow these people to be creative. So one employee turned to 2, turned to 3. There were a few, I mean, there were times that I made huge mistakes. There were times that I took on too many clients for the amount of team members that I had. And I would end up working until the wee hours of the morning. But I guess that's the difference between maybe me and someone else is like, I will never knowingly drop the ball, ever. If I've taken on too much and my team can't handle it all, then I will start working on projects. You know, like I'm never going to just be like, oh, well, we're just so busy. Sorry, we missed all these deadlines. Like, no, like I don't care. If I gave someone my word that I'm going to do something for them, my name is written all over this. Like I have to come through. So, you know, there were many, many, many times that I was like kicking myself of like, why did I take on so much? So for anybody out there that's a freelancer that is, you know, I'll say this, like being a freelancer is easy and some people enjoy that, like just being you, because managing employees is really challenging sometimes. But if you are going to be the freelancer and be on your own, just know this, like there are only so many hours in a day. And once you fill up all those hours, you have immediately put a ceiling on how much money you can make and how many projects. So you will grow to a certain extent, and then you will never, ever, ever be able to grow beyond that. So if you really want to grow and expand your reach, and also, you know, make more money, just to be completely honest, you have to hire people. And it's actually really, really scary because sometimes you have to hire somebody and take a big fat pay cut yourself, just knowing that you're going to get more business to make up for it. So sometimes it's the leap of faith. Like that's part of being an entrepreneur is like, you got to take these leaps of faith and hire somebody just knowing that you can go out and get more clients to not only pay for that employee, but then increase revenue additionally. So I think that's a big word of advice is like, yeah, you can be a freelancer forever, but you're also going to stay, you know, once you max out your time, you're going to be done, you know? So now we are a team of 6. We have Jess, who is our creative director. She is the lead point of contact for all of our clients. She checks over everything for strategy and for quality. She leads all of our client calls and communication. And she kind of is the project manager to ensure that like all of our clients' tasks are on point. We have a program called Asana, and she does all the approvals, reviewing content and whatnot inside of Asana. Then we have a PR department. So Myra is our PR manager. So she writes all the press releases. She does all of the pitching. She handles affiliate programs, influencer programs. So she's she spearheads the PR department. We've got several content creators. They specifically handle posting content for social media, Facebook, Instagram. Gosh, we have clients with almost every platform, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Google My Business, a little bit of everything. They are the ones that are actually writing the content and selecting the image or videos, and even creating reels and TikToks and all that good stuff. And also email newsletters. So they are the queen bees of content. So we've got a graphics and web person on our team as well to help with all the graphic design and you know, back end website stuff. She also handles our podcast. Shout out to Stephanie for editing our podcast every week. And then I'm trying to think, have I covered everybody? Then we have our assistant, Asha. And Asha helps with engagement on scheduling and engagement on social media accounts. She also creates content for the agency's social media. And she also plays a support role for our PR manager as well. So really, you know, our team has expanded significantly even this year. And one thing, you know, I'm still learning lessons. Every week is a new lesson, you know, new level, new devil, right? So we have more than doubled business this year, and our team has expanded significantly. We're getting ready to expand again, which is exciting. But I've really become strategic on a few things. A, bringing on all these new people has made me realize we have to have certain systems in place where it's in writing of this is how you put tasks in Asana. This is how you get approval from Jess. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. You have to have systems for everything. And the moment someone comes on board, you teach them the system so that everyone knows how to operate for approvals. How do we send clients content? It's almost like a little rule book of like, here's how our team works. So we have created a lot of systems this year, and Jess has been really, really valuable in doing that. And then, you know, also, like I said, just making sure that everyone is really clear on what their role is. This gets into a little bit of like what I've noticed as a challenge is when something doesn't get done, 90% of the time, if it doesn't get done, it's because there was gray area and certain people thought, oh, I didn't realize that was my role, or oh, I didn't know that that responsibility fell underneath me. So just getting really, really clear to people on what is their role and then how to execute each one of those tasks. So we're still, you know, continually adding to our training manual of what people need to learn about when they come onto our team. And every single person's training manual is a little different based on, you know, are they a content creator? Are they in the PR team? What are they actually doing? What's their job? So that has been a game changer for me. But, you know, honestly, I think it is, you know, I'm 35 years old now. I think it is just years of experience. You know, there's no magic thing for me to tell you to do. You just have to take that leap and hire the first person. Believe in yourself enough to hire the first person and really learn how to manage them first. Learn how to give them tasks, how to let them do it, how to check for quality. You know, after you really guide some people, you know, and give them feedback, don't just, if they write something, don't just change their writing. You have to explain to them why you're changing this and that. And over time, they learn and then they become so freaking valuable to you. So start with one person and then start and then go to two people and go to three people and go to four people. And you just have to climb it gradually. You know, that's one thing I've tried to be mindful of. And actually this summer, we scaled back to, we usually take on two new clients each month. But this summer I've decided to only take on one client each month, just to ensure that our team is solid, that the systems are in place, that everyone feels confident with their workload. And so that, and I've even noticed like a huge difference in the past 2 or 3 weeks. Like I feel like the systems are in place now and the wheels are turning and everybody is feeling good about their, you know, expectations and their role. So we've got a new client starting this week. And we've got a few really big ones on the horizon. So, my next step, and this is always, you know, a leap of faith, is like going ahead and hiring that next person so that, you know, whenever we bring on, and this was a huge mistake I had made in the past, you know, I would wait until the client would sign the contract and I'm like, ooh, okay, we got two new clients. Now I need somebody to help. Like, and for about the first month, because it takes time to hire somebody, for the first month of the new client, we're kind of like drowning a little bit, you know, and the team is drowning, which I hate doing that to them. I see the stress in their eyes and I notice it in their work. But in the past, I would wait for the contract to be signed and then I would hire someone because it's like I wanted that guarantee that money would be there and that I could hire them. But I've just learned that I can't do that anymore. It actually makes my life hell and it's worth me just paying the money up front. So like right now, it's June 15th today when I'm recording this. We've got clients that are coming on in August. So I'm going to get somebody new in place, hopefully by the end of this month. So they'll have a solid 4 weeks to learn our systems, learn their role, and they'll be ready to rock when it comes August and it's time for them to actually take on a client. You know, they can take on projects before that, but by August 1, like the wheels are turning and they're ready to rock and roll. You know, they'll still be learning, but at least give them like a solid month of getting integrated. So, you know, there's been a lot that I have learned from, you know, starting off by myself to becoming a team of six, about to be seven. But I'll say this as my closing point. If you're out there and you're working alone, the first thing I want you to do is stop calling yourself a freelancer. I think, and I know I titled this episode freelancer, but that's because people use that word all the time. I don't use that word. I don't like that word. I think that word to me says, I don't have a job. I just take on projects here and there. It's kind of like a stray dog that's just kind of like running around trying to get scraps where they can. So stop calling yourself a freelancer. If you want people to respect you and like look at you as an agency, call yourself an agency, you know, or if you're not, you know, maybe an agency does kind of speak to like having multiple people. Maybe you can call yourself a consultant or, you know, a strategist, you know, or an expert, a social media expert or whatever your, you know, your realm is. But I would encourage you to take the F word, take the F word out of your vocabulary, because I think freelancer immediately to me speaks to you're charging really low rates and you don't have any, you know, steady gigs and you're just trying to scramble and get projects here and there just to get by. So don't call yourself a freelancer. You know, if you want to be taken seriously, take yourself seriously, get some nice business cards, get a website, get a professional headshot, no freaking selfies in the mirror. I can't tell you, God, I see people with these selfies as their professional headshot. I'm like, no, if you want people to take you seriously, get yourself together, look professional, and put yourself out there. You know, that if I had to say one key to what I did to build this business was I just kept putting myself out there. I kept putting myself out there. And when I would get a client, I would work really hard to show them actual results, not just like, oh, I posted something on social for you. No, like what came from that? What did their social following grow? Did they get clicks through to their website? Like I would try to show them real results. So if you're out there and you are a single man show, I would love to, single man or woman, if you have any questions, I'm always here for you. I remember that life of working alone. Just know that like you can do this. Managing people is a challenge, but it's also really rewarding. I freaking love my team. Seriously, like they're awesome. So, you know, I love my team and it's really rewarding to have them. And it also makes life so much more fun and work so much more fun to have us together rather than me just flying solo all the time. So, hit me up on Instagram, follow, or, you know, send me a DM on LinkedIn, whatever works for you. I'm always here for you and glad to support you. So just keep going. It's going to keep growing. You got this. Thanks for tuning into this episode. If you thought the info was beneficial, it would mean so much if you take a quick second to write us a review and share it on social media. If you have a question about a topic or a specific industry you want to learn more about, reach out to us on Socialese, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And you can also find me personally, The Whitney Lee, on Instagram. We are excited to connect with you and help you make your business more socially relevant.